we've been looking at the story of the upside-down kingdom of God. We saw how the kingdom searches for the lost, how that we enter it like children, that it's something our heart and our hands together do. The parable of the Good Samaritan reminds us that there are neighbors everywhere, and the parable of the rich fool reminds us that those in this kingdom are not their own. What we just read out was the story of Zacchaeus. Now, the reason that this is the last sermon in our series is simply because it is in Luke chapter 19. It is one of the last stories in Luke before Jesus reaches Jerusalem. But as I studied it this week, I realized that this story ties together everything we've been looking at over the last 6 weeks. Now, what do I mean? Let's dive right into it. Zacchaeus was lost. He was a lost sheep, a lost son. Verse 2, he was the chief tax collector. Now, tax collectors are always mentioned in relation to sinners in the Gospels. This is because a tax collector was someone who deliberately, knowingly, and intentionally exploited other people for their own gain. This is callous, cold-hearted cruelty. They were so hated that they had no one to turn to. Even if Zacchaeus had a change of heart, there was no one who would accept him. He wanted to see Jesus, but there was no way for him to get to Jesus. In verse 3, he was short. He was despised. The people around him probably enjoyed getting the better of him for once, blocking his view. This was that one time they could get back at that tax collector. And so verse 4, he had to climb a tree just to get a shot at seeing Jesus walk past. He certainly wasn't expecting Jesus to stop for him, let alone talk to him. And why did he want to see Jesus anyway? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But maybe something stirred in his heart. Like a wandering sheep who longs to find its shepherd, or the prodigal who longs to return home. Zacchaeus represents the sinner who longs to find rest from his burdens. And just like the shepherd who carries the lost sheep on his shoulders, or the father who runs out to meet the returning child, when Jesus shows up, he takes the initiative. In verse 5, we read, Jesus walks up to Zacchaeus. Jesus looks up at him in the tree, and he calls him by his name, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your home today. Now, Jesus was pretty bossy here, because if you think about it, this is literally the ultimate self-invite. And Zacchaeus could have been indignant. After all, who did Jesus think he was, inviting himself to my home? But he chose not to. Instead, he chose to respond like a child, with humility and dependence, the characteristics that define a child. People couldn't understand what was going on. In verse 7, we read, all the people saw this and began to mutter, Jesus is gone to be the guest of a sinner. Jesus sees past that and gives us the opportunity to respond. Our past is our past. We can't change it. Even if you sincerely repent, you can't change what you've done. And God knows that. So God only looks ahead. He sees potential. He sees in Zacchaeus a child who is willing to respond and set aside his pride. He sees in Zacchaeus a child who is willing to depend on him when the rest of the world is against him. And so he gives Zacchaeus that opportunity. Come down immediately. Zacchaeus grasps that opportunity tightly. Verse 6, he comes down at once. and welcomes Jesus gladly. And let's be honest, if you can imagine in your head a picture of a short little man fumbling his way down a tree to welcome Jesus into his home, there is a sense of childlike joy coming out of that picture, isn't there? Because that's how a child responds. And so in responding, the transformation that takes place in Zacchaeus' life beggars belief. Last week we looked at the rich fool who stored up treasures for himself. Here is the opposite. Something about the kingdom had touched Zacchaeus' heart, and in the middle of the meal he stands up and declares before everyone, in verse 8, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor." Zacchaeus' perspective of the world had changed. He was that rich fool hoarding up treasures for himself. But Jesus had brought the upside-down kingdom into his home. And now his world, Zacchaeus' world, really was turned upside down. He understood that, first, those riches weren't his anyway. But more importantly, that he was willing to take what he had, ill-gotten or otherwise, and use it for the benefit of his neighbors. A radical change in perspective in his life. And of course, the second half of that verse is just as important. We continue the rest of verse 8. "If I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Zacchaeus is that good Samaritan, that unexpected person who's willing to stand up for what is right. He's the one who finally gets what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. And he's willing to take the transformation that's taken place in his heart and work it out in his hands. Not just a cognitive assent to some truth, but an outpouring of life to the people around him. Which is why Jesus declares in the final two verses, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." The story of Zacchaeus ties all these threads together so beautifully. Here is a person, a lost, wandering son of Abraham, responding to Jesus with childlike faith. Here is someone with a past full of regrets who meets Jesus and is renewed by him. Here is someone who, like that rich fool from last week, was hoarding up treasures from himself, but upon meeting Jesus is transformed into someone who is rich towards God. Not just in his walk, in his talk, but also in his walk, giving away half of what he had to the poor and repaying four times over. Here's someone who put his hands and his heart together. Here is someone who has found that upside down kingdom and has chosen to be a part of it. And we see just how his life was transformed. Not just by following rules, not just by his actions, not just by his faith, but all of these things combined to live out that reality of the new life in him. And so the story now turns to us. Because I think that at the end of the day, we can all identify and relate to some part of the story of Zacchaeus. Maybe you feel lost. Maybe you feel like you're wandering like that sheep. Maybe you're tired and broken and overwhelmed like the prodigal. Maybe you, like Zacchaeus, feel like there is something wrong with where you are now. And you're willing to do anything, anything. Run ahead, climb a tree, to try to see if there is something more, if there is someone more who can touch your life. What you're looking for is this kingdom that Zacchaeus found. We can turn to other people, we can turn to things, but none of those things will ever satisfy you. There's a God-shaped hole in your heart, and God is calling. Jesus is calling. Maybe you realize you've never personally met him, and he's calling you anew. Or maybe he's calling you home. But when he calls you, he doesn't call you by what other people call you. He doesn't call you by the things in your past that define you. He doesn't call you by the things you've done or by mistakes you've made or even things that might have been done to you and you feel trapped or defined by. He doesn't judge you by any of that. No, like the shepherd searching for the sheep, he calls you by your name. Just like he called Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus. Not the tax collector, not the sinner, but Zacchaeus. His call might be loud and clear. It might be a gentle whisper. But it's there. And it's direct. Jesus doesn't dilly-dally. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your home today. Come meet me right here, right now. Jesus says, I must stay with you today. Maybe that's where you're at right now. Facing that choice of how you will respond to his call. Do you ultimately choose to depend on yourself and try to find your own way? Or are you willing to depend on someone greater? Maybe what you're facing right now is that lesson to learn how to be like a child. Humble and dependent. When you listen closely, this is what Jesus is saying. You are my child, he says. I see your struggles. I see your pain, your hurt, your uncertainty. I will look after you. I will provide for you. I will give you comfort and peace and assurance. All you have to do is confess that need for me. Don't let your pride hold you back. Don't try to struggle on by yourself. I'm right here waiting for you to choose me. So maybe you need to be brave like Zacchaeus. Take the plunge. When Jesus says, come down immediately, Zacchaeus, in his childlike joy, came down at once, we read. And he welcomed Jesus gladly. What about you? Are you willing to trust him? Or maybe the story of the rich fool is speaking to you. Maybe you look around and you realize you're storing up treasures for yourself, like Zacchaeus was. Maybe you look at what you've got and you realize you've forgotten where it all comes from. Like the rich person, you realize you're too focused on me, me, me. Someone wants your time, but you're too busy. This is my time. It's too precious to give away. Someone needs your skills, but you shy away from helping. These are my skills. Someone else can do it. Zacchaeus, on the other hand, upon meeting Jesus, gave away half of what he had. He could have said, these are my possessions. Someone else helped those people. But he realized that it's not treasures for himself that matters. It's being rich towards God. And one living in the kingdom must always have this perspective. Or maybe what has stuck with you today, these last weeks, is the story of the Good Samaritan and that message of about your heart and hands together. Maybe you look at your heart and your hands and you realize there is a disconnect. Maybe you've been too focused on ideology, that we have to say the right things, or think the right things, or know the right things, or do the right traditions. Or maybe you've become the opposite and too lax, so focused on grace and love and freedom that you've forgotten about discipline. And Zacchaeus says no. Four times he repays back what he cheated out of people. Four times. Four times is the amount prescribed for theft in Old Testament law. So Zacchaeus takes what he knows, the law, and his heart, his changed heart, and he puts them together, side by side, hand and heart together. That's what living in the kingdom looks like. Now, one thing we didn't get to look at in the story of Zacchaeus is a feature of Luke's gospel that you wouldn't notice unless you knew to look for it. And that's the use of this word today. In the gospel of Luke, the word today, it always signifies something about salvation. It's a key word to watch out for. In Luke chapter 2, when Jesus was born, Luke writes, "Today a Savior is born." In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus begins his ministry, reading from the scroll of Isaiah, Luke writes, "Today this scripture is fulfilled." In Luke 23, when the thief on the cross repents, Luke has Jesus saying, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And uniquely, in Zacchaeus' story, Luke uses the word today twice. First, Jesus says, "Today I must stay with you." Then Jesus says, "Today salvation has come." The same message is calling out to us now. Jesus' upside down kingdom is here. He wants to stay with you today. He wants to change your life today. He wants to transform your perspective of who you are, of whose you are, and how you see the world around you today. And he wants to say to all of us, salvation has come today. This was the story of Zacchaeus and how he encountered Jesus and found the upside down kingdom of God. Essentially, what we read today was his testimony. And so, changing things up a bit, I want to bring that to you. Because testimonies are so powerful. Hearing from each other how God is working in our lives can be so encouraging. These past 6 weeks, we've explored different perspectives about God's kingdom. That the lost are found. That childlike dependence is a must. That it brings our hearts and hands together. That we find neighbors in the unlikeliest of places. And that it demands us to be generous with what God has given us. And so as we wrap up, I'm going to ask our tech team to put up the slide for Stay and Pray. Instead of going straight to a song, we're going to try something new. Today, we're going to change up our Stay and Pray time into a Share and Pray. I know it's cheesy. Did any of these stories speak to you? Did God put something on your heart? I want us to spend a minute or two reflecting on these past weeks. Then break into groups with the people around you and share your stories. How has God been speaking to you or working through you or in you recently? Listen to each other and be encouraged. And then pray for each other out of what's been shared. And now I just want to acknowledge our online members as well for this part and apologize because last time we did Stay and Pray, we forgot to organize for you, and that was our oversight. And so today I believe what we will do is, depending on numbers, which I can't see, we're either going to do breakout rooms or just let you guys use the main room completely. Now, I know a lot of us are camera shy on Zoom, so if you are there, I really want to encourage you to turn on your camera so that you can talk to each other and see each other. And you too can spend this time sharing and praying for each other. So our tech team is going to sort that out for you. We will do this for about 10 minutes. So we will come back together at 5 to 10. And then the worship team will lead us in a song to wrap up this time. Great. Okay. So spend a few minutes reflecting and then share in your groups. Yeah.
Yeah. for those who finished, we'll be singing a stand. But if you keep still praying, that's perfectly fine. You should probably stand for the stand.
Used to be for creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stay. Spirit alive. what can I do? But offer this heart, O God, completely to you.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray that we can be like Zacchaeus this morning, as he offered not just his heart, but all his wealth.